The trains sound best to me here on Mars Hill, overlooking downtown Flagstaff. Late at night, when the air's cold and still, the horn rolls around the mountains. It's a sound that seems to mirror the lonely beauty of life in the American West. Ray Bradbury caught this mood in his novel, Something Wicked This Way Comes.
Way late at night, Will had heard, how often, train whistles jetting steam along the rim of sleep, forlorn, alone and far, no matter how near they came. Going east, going west, the trains of far gone in country deeps, they drown in tides of sleep that escape the towns. Those trains and their grieving sounds were lost forever between stations, not remembering where they had been, not guessing where they might go, exhaling their last pale breaths over the horizon, gone. So it was with all trains, ever.
All aboard. Goodbye, baby.
Goodbye.
Why do American trains have such a mournful wail when a factory-style klaxon would do? I asked Bill Withoon, transport curator at the Smithsonian Museum in Washington.
The whistle back in the time when most of us lived in rural communities or smaller towns, the whistle was a kind of a call to adventure, you know, see what's on the other side of the hill. Call to new opportunity, or for some people, for escape, getting out of lousy situations, or maybe even, hitting the rods, as it were, with a hobo culture. And in America, our rights of way were mostly unfenced, in contrast to Europe, so it was easy for people to get across the tracks and take the potential of getting hit. You know, hitting somebody, or a cow, or a person, or a vehicle, like a horse and wagon in those days, is a traumatic experience. In the earliest times, the engineers realized that they needed something to warn people better than a bell. And of course, today, the trains can weigh up to 5-10,000 tons, and it takes a mile, sometimes it's a mile and a half, just to stop.
Like a tune that you can't get out of your head, this train horn business is a constant reminder that you're an expat. Writer Jonathan Raben feels that way.
I once described the sound of a freight train horn as being like a long, low oboe note, you know, like mournful lowing of cattle or something, a cow in a bad mood. But I wrote that when I was in England, and it was back in 1989. And that sounds all wrong to me now. It's a much more complex note. I mean, yes, there is some woodwind in it, but there are also brass and even an element of strings in the sound. And what I hear it as now is the sound of civilization coming to the wilderness. And it has that note of almost ridiculous self-importance.
When the transition was made to diesel, some people commented that they missed the old steam whistles, and they heard a kind of a blat, blat sound. The Southern Railroad, in the 1950s, they actually sponsored a study with a company that made locomotive horns and trying to find a more compatible kind of sound that people liked. Well, actually, I knew an individual back in the 1970s who was quite elderly then. He worked for a little company called Nathan. And he had worked on the design of getting a new sound out of these things with the air horn that would sound a little more musical, and finally settled on a design that had a bit of a, perhaps you'd say a brass or a trumpet kind of sound, maybe a trombone sound. So they did some experimenting and ran trains in the hollows with these new whistles and new horns. People told the railroad that they appreciated the effort.
It is, I think, a phonically complex sound. It's low, it's deep, it's mournful, it's solemn. It has, as it were, the note with which you might strike up a very important symphony struck by the train. Across these empty flatlands, the very complexity of the sound of the horn was meant to bring the idea that a new society was coming into being here. New towns were being created. Technology was arriving. The train said, "This is a new civilization we're at here." Well, for me at any rate, the sound of the horn was a deliberate attempt to conjure that sense of importance, of aspiration, of a new society in the making.
I love standing next to the railroad crossing as the gates come down and the bells start clanging. The lead locomotive approaches at speed, and then a 100 decibel tidal wave of sound washes over you. I popped into a local office to see if they shared my enthusiasm.
My name is Susie Meehan, and I am the membership sales executive for the Chamber of Commerce in Flagstaff. As I like to say to everyone, my desk is located on top of the train tracks. So I look out at beautiful aspens, but then right below the aspens are the tracks. You can see the Motel du Beau and lots of neat little shops that are also affected by this train coming by as often as it does. Yeah. Oh, I just heard our events coordinators say 100 trains within a 24-hour period. And, isn't that lovely? We have a train coming.
So do you think the sound of the train is a romantic sound? Can you tell us what you think about it?
I think it's a romantic sound when it's in the distance. But working over the tracks, as the train approaches, and here comes one, I have to put whoever I'm talking to on the phone on hold.
Is it romantic to you, or is it just a very workaday sound?
That is definitely my workday sound. I have to plug my ears while the train goes by. I can't talk loud. I'm getting on the phone. Are you getting the picture?
I got the freight train blue. Oh, Lordy, Mama, got him in the bottom of my rambling shoes. And when the whistle blows, I got to go. Baby, don't you know, it looks like I'm never gonna lose a freight train blues.
In a marshalling yard, I met with Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railroad safety officer and train driver, David Agee.
Right, David, this is really brilliant. We're up inside the cab of one of the BNSF freight locomotives. You're sitting in the driver's seat here. There's some big buttons on the console in front of you, and there's one big round black one that simply says horn.
We have to do that at 1,320 feet, which is 80 rods according to the statute. As we approach, we start a horn blowing, and we blow one long, a short, and a final long as we intersect the crossing itself. And I would say to the public that please listen to that horn. It's very important. That's a warning device. We're losing currently 2 people a day at crossings nationwide. Unfortunately, I've been involved in some train animal encounters where the animals lose, and the fact is that you would not want to see a human being in that state. Almost ran over about 15 kids one day, and they were trying to beat the train across the tracks at a high school, and the last 3 I thought I killed. Those 3 kids I thought were dead, and I expected to go back and see some pretty horrible sights. So every time you go across the crossing, you need to look, listen, so you can live.
Warren Flatow of the Federal Railroad Administration has to be the diplomat between safety officials and increasingly grumpy, sleep-deprived residents.
As urbanization has occurred, there are more people living in close proximity to railroad tracks. The negative impacts of noise have become more acute. A statute was enacted by the United States Congress to establish quiet zones, which are stretches of track in which the locomotive horn or whistle is not routinely sounded. They do need to install what we refer to as supplementary safety measures, more sophisticated gate systems.
Ever make you think about the people who actually get hit by and killed by trains?
Not all that often, no. I mean, I try and avoid it myself as far as possible.
Nostalgia, I think, is inversely proportional to your distance from the tracks.
Actually, I like to sleep.
You're never going to have that locomotive horn go entirely away. It is the basic warning system in a big geography in which still most of the tracks are completely unfenced.